Spiders Will Eat Your Face. Available on Amazon Prime Instant Watch and Amazon.com. Spiders Will Eat Your Face. The brilliant documentary about the history of pet tarantulas in America. That's Spiders Will Eat Your Face, the movie, now on Amazon.
Success. Media. Network. 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 Network.
Is your show.
Good day, successors. I'm Antonio Holman, and welcome to the Four Principles of Success, number 35, where I chat with successful people and entrepreneurs about how they enhance their businesses and lives in the areas of knowledge, health, wealth, and spirituality. Today, we're talking to Lindsay Phillips. Lindsay is located in Ontario, Canada, and is a serial entrepreneur, self-professed organizational freak, client-appointed taskmaster, plus project ninja and warrior content marketer for life and business coaches, accountants, and other online entrepreneurs across the globe. As CEO and founder of Smooth Sailing Business Growth, Lindsay leads a rockstar team to support entrepreneurs who are seeking fast-paced business growth, but finally have come to the realization that they can't do it all alone and do it well. She is also the host of Sailing to Success podcast and Smooth Sailing Online Support TV, where she loves to share practical tips, business building, and content marketing strategies so that you can be more productive and attract more customers faster. Lindsay, are you ready to help our listeners prepare for success?
I am ready to rock and roll, Antonio.
All right. Rock and roll, that's close to my heart. All right, Lindsay, so aside from your business world, tell us a little bit about your personal life.
I live in a rural community, which I love. So outside of my office, I see fields and animals, and every now and then I'm lucky enough to see a deer. My dream is to work from home so that I can be in the environment that I want and make the income that I want and raise my two little ones that are, you know, the heart of the home.
How often are you usually working? Do you do a five-day-a-week schedule, or do you do like half days during the week? What's your schedule usually like?
Half days. What are they?
Yeah, really. It was a shot in the dark.
For the most part, 5 days a week. I mean, I go to the gym most mornings, so technically I don't really start work until 10 o'clock, which I've carved out for myself. And sometimes I try to book out early at 4 once the kids are home, but normally there's too much to do, so I'm here till 5. But at least I don't work evenings anymore, thank God. But in the summer, I definitely make long weekends for myself and try to take that time.
So you seem to be a bit of a serial entrepreneur. When was your first entrepreneurial venture, and how old were you?
God, it feels like forever ago. Let me think. I think I was, in my 20s, late 20s. It was about mid, late 20s. It was when I lived out in beautiful British Columbia. And I actually had an interior design business with a partner of mine for a little while. And then, you know, how your paths just go in weird and different ways.
Yeah.
And then I got into the car business, exporting vehicles to the States for different wholesalers. And we had our own business and offices in Calgary and Vancouver and, dealing with USDOT and NHTSA and all that good stuff. And then we moved to Ontario to open up an office there and just to move back with my family, to see my family. And then the dollar tanked and then, you know, got married and had small kids. So I didn't want to have my own business anymore. I just wanted something that was easy and, you know, fit my schedule. And then after a while, I kind of got antsy. And you know what? I moved to Port Perry. So where I am now. And I, you know, had the kids in daycare and they were just about to go to school, one of them. And I was working at a part-time job for a publisher making, and this is brutal, $11 to $14 an hour. And that's Canadian. Mm. And I'm just like, I'm smarter than this and I want more. I knew I wanted to be home more with, you know, with the kids and be available and just to have that opportunity to make more income. Finally got into the VA world, working, you know, online from home, and it came to a crux where my business started to take off and it was like, I had to quit my job and then here I am now.
What really attracted you to even get into content marketing? I mean, that's kind of a unique thing. Was it just the fact that technology and the modernization of all things business that changed that really attracted you?
You know what? I'm very creative. I've always liked writing anyways. So just even the blogging kind of piqued my interest in creating social media, content creation, creating graphics. I just loved that creative part of it and the psychological impact that it has on people and how it attracts people. And I just, my mind kind of opened up like, oh my God, the amount of, you know, thing, I love learning new things. So the amount of things that I could learn about online marketing in general, you know, those videos and podcasts and lead magnets and sales funnels, there was so much. And that was exciting for me. And I loved just that creative aspect. And honestly, as I kind of grew my business, I mean, I started off as a, you know, your typical VA firm doing a lot of, you know, customer service, you know, email management, even, you know, social media, obviously, like, but then I kind of realized where my passion was, what I liked to do, what I didn't like to do. So kind of pushed more in that avenue and also realized what I was better at, what I was good at, and what successes my clients were having because of the work that I was doing. So it was a natural progression. And then just a light bulb went off and I'm like, why am I being general when I can niche down? And it's A, easier for me to scale my business that way. B, I can carve myself a better spot in the market, you know, being an expert in a specific field. And it just, it's honestly where my passion is. I love doing it. So I took that route for sure.
How did you leave your day job? What did you tell them? You know, how was it? Was it kind of an emotional thing? Was it frightening to do that?
It was bloody scary, yes. and I worked for a, I mean, on a personal note, I worked for a couple, and the one woman, she passed away suddenly with breast cancer complications. So I was working just for the husband, and honestly, I was pretty much running his business. So it was hard for me to leave him because I was doing so much, and I obviously felt attached to them. I'd known them for so many years. So for that part, it was really hard. But then I knew in the back of my voice that I had to do what was right for me, you know, to fulfill my own destiny, so to speak, and, you know, take matters into my own hands and be there for my kids. But even financially, it's like I could make so much more money having my own business than working for somebody else. So that was there. So I don't think I told him that I had my own business. I think I can't remember what I said, to be honest, but, I also had another part-time job being a secretary treasurer for a local nonprofit, which I kept for quite a while. I've since let that go. But yeah, it was scary. I'm like, you know, what if it doesn't work out? What if my income isn't, you know, the same? But I mean, I couldn't juggle both at the same time. So it just made sense to move in the direction that I've gone.
Hmm. A lot of entrepreneurs would say that they could just hire a VA virtual assistant to take care of their content marketing. Now, what's the difference between hiring a VA versus a content marketer? And, you know, what does one know over the other?
That's a huge question. And to me, the term VA is overused and it's so general and it means different things to different people. And I mean, a VA technically is just an assistant with no specific job description attached to it. That's virtual. So to me, a virtual assistant, I mean, they can do web work, they can do bookkeeping, manage your inbox and your quotes and your customer service and the back end, social media. I mean, there's so many different things that they can do. To me, I look at it this way. I'm like, if you're an entrepreneur and you need help, first of all, you need to be very clear on what it is that you need help with. I get so many phone calls from entrepreneurs that are overwhelmed and they're like, I need a VA. I'm like, okay, you know, what are you looking to offload or what are you looking to outsource? And they're like, they have no idea. So it's like, you really need to be clear on what it is that you need help with so that you can get someone to help you in that area that is an expert in that area. I mean, it's so easy to have someone, you know, create social media content and put it up or put a blog on your website. But I think it's more effective if you really want to grow your business rapidly and effectively. You need someone that understands the full realm of content marketing, how all those pieces work together, how to optimize them, what are your conversion rates, what's working, what's not working, and someone that's going to be a partner in your business and part of your team versus, you know, a doer. I mean, those, you know, doers, if you will, I mean, gosh, they have their place. Absolutely. You give them a specific task to do and they deliver, and that's perfect. It's partly being really clear about what it is that you want and who's going to be able to best help you within that range.
What are your day-to-day operations and how are you helping your customers on a daily basis?
Sure. I mean, I have different clients in different areas. I have some clients where I strictly do all their podcast production, you know, all the back end to get the podcast up and running, to get it published and promoted. There are some clients where I strictly create their blogs and their social media content and pre-schedule it and monitor some of their social media. There's some clients where I strictly do the show notes. I mean, there is a whole range. And I obviously have some clients where I take on, you know, the whole gamut. I strategize with them, you know, what is their product ladder? What is their ascension ladder? What are their funnels that they need to put into place to really, you know, propel their business forward? So I help strategize, you know, set up a plan, get the content creation, you know, whether it's a videos or blogging or a new lead magnet. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the back end of just having a lead magnet and all the sales funnels and the emails that happen afterwards. There's so many moving parts with all that content marketing. And so I help strategize, plan, and then implement and push it forward with the help of my awesome team.
Yeah, that's where I was going next was the team, because that sounds like a huge task. And it sounds scary for one person to do. So
yeah.
How many people do you have working for you, and how busy did it get before, or how busy did it get for you when you decided, hey, I can't do all this by myself. I'm going to have to hire somebody.
Yeah. I mean, it was just me for a long time, and I was burning the candles at both ends, and I was working evenings, and you know, my husband's like, you're on the computer again. And I was like, because you cap, right? Like the amount of hours that you work equals dollars. And I'm like, I want to make more money. I want to grow my business, but how do I do it? So I finally, you know, hired someone, and then I hired another person, and it was hard giving up that control of them doing work, not only just for me, but my client work as well. Right. And then I think I got to the point where I had five clients. So I thought that five team members. So I thought that was pretty good. And I've obviously changed my processes and procedures and really fine-tuned those so that I could scale my business. And then, you know, I had this another influx of a lot of clients. You know, I had this flood. So I actually hired one, two, three people in the past, I don't know, 5 months. Again, revamped all my processes, my procedures, scaled them down so that it was easy for me to train. And it was easy for me to onboard new clients and make sure that everything is running smoothly. So myself and my husband are in the business together, and we have a team of eight on top of that.
So how long was it before you decided to actually hire somebody?
I'm so bad with my memory on like what happened in what year. I don't know. It's been... Laura, those guys have been with me for a couple of years. I would say 3 years.
About 3 years. Okay.
Yeah.
What about the small business owner who feels like they don't need your services? They don't feel big enough to utilize services that you offer. You know, what would you say to them?
I usually suggest it's like, okay, if you look at the past 6 months of your business, what have you had in the back of your mind or your to-do list? Oh, I want to start a video show. Oh, I want to start a podcast show. You know, what things have you wanted to do but you haven't implemented or gotten the ball rolling? The other question is, are you consistently nurturing and emailing your e-list? How often are you staying in touch with your and nurturing your clients? How much are, you know, how consistent are you with your blogs, with your content, with your social media? And if you're not consistent and you're not getting X, Y, and Z done, then you're not growing your business and you're not fulfilling your goals. Those to me are a sign that you need help and support in some way or some form. So that is huge. And, you know, I mean, some prospects come to me, Antonio, and they're, I remember one of them, and I'm like, okay, we can do this and this, and, you know, here's how I can help you, and here are some suggestions. And then I never heard back. And so I called the person, I'm like, hey, I haven't heard back, and, you know, I'm getting a sense that maybe you're feeling overwhelmed and don't know where to start or what to do next. And that was exactly the case. So I think a lot of entrepreneurs are freaked out by content marketing, all the options. They don't know, A, how to implement it or implement it well, and they don't know where to start. It's like you get that mental block, right? So it's like you have to start somewhere. So it's like, okay, let's do this first. We'll do it for a couple of months. We'll build our relationship and our trust, get to know your branding. We'll get this going in this arena, and then we'll move on to step B. So it's like you don't have to do it all at once. You can take it one step at a time. As long as you're always taking action and you're always moving forward and being consistent, that is key.
What are two small things people can implement today to start helping increase their online presence?
Is at least, even if you can't do a blog every single week or a video every single, you know, week or day or whatever, you have to at least have a schedule and a routine. So at the very, like, I mean, I still think at the very least you should do it once a week, but you need a starting place, right? Even if you plan to do two blogs a month, a couple of videos a month, at least one social media post every day, you have to be consistent in some way. And then you can increase the volume.
Now, you have a podcast also. How do you feel business owners can grow their business by creating a podcast?
Oh, man, my business has grown so much, not only since having my own podcast show, but definitely since being a guest on other people's shows. I was very scary for me. I'm not going to lie. I resisted doing it for the longest time. It freaked me right out. And, you know, my first couple of episodes of my podcast, I mean, they sucked. I really feel for those two guests. Thank God they were friends. But it takes practice and you kind of get into the groove. I think of it as this way. Not only are you're making great connections and great relationships with people. There are some people that have been on my show that I'm really good friends with and we have good partnerships with. So you make great, and you think you can't make friends with people on the other side of the world, but you can. And it just opens up doors in that respect. And the other thing that I find is that I'm learning so much. I interview people that I really genuinely want to glean some great tips from and strategies from. And if I'm learning those things, then I'm serving other people because they'll learn those things too. And you're delivering a content in a way that people can consume anywhere on the go. You know, I know tons of people that listen to podcasts while they're at the gym, which is perfect, or they're in the car or whatever it may be. It's an easy way for people to consume your content and your information. It really helps you be, an expert in your field. It leverages your credibility, and your expert status, and, it increases your exposure. I mean, you know, not only are your own listeners, and community listening, but the person that's on your show, they're going to share, you know, with their two friends and so on and so on. So it really increases the exposure of your business.
Yeah, I think the power of audio is much more powerful than the power of video. Well, maybe in certain aspects, but maybe overall, the audio is more powerful because it's versatile. You can take it anywhere. You can consume it. You can consume it while you're driving, you know.
Yeah.
You can't watch a video while you're driving.
I do.
So, yeah, I really love this world of podcasting.
Yeah.
Love it.
And I love how it's conversational. Like, I tend to listen to podcasts where there's two people versus a podcast where there's one person. But that's just me because I really like feeling like I'm in the conversation and like these people are just having a chat, but you're getting really good information from it.
Yeah, I guess it's humans tend to be natural voyeurs.
That's true.
What do you feel is the reason you choose to be an entrepreneur and create your own destiny? What is that inside of you that drives you to do that?
I know. I think about this quite often. It's like entrepreneurs are a different breed of people. And it's like our businesses, it's like we think about, we're obsessed, right? We think about it constantly.
Oh my God. Tell me about it.
I know. My husband's just like, geez, woman.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's our baby. I don't know. We just have that ingrained, like, passion for it. I can't even explain it. And just, it's empowering too, right? Like to feel like you're in control of your income, you're in control of your lifestyle and what you want to do. I mean, there's so many people out there that have jobs that they hate going to work. And they don't feel good about themselves, or there is stress between like the politics or whatever it may be. And I'm like, I am so thankful that I don't have that. I mean, you know, entrepreneurship is not for everyone. But I do find that entrepreneurs that naturally walk into that space and take it on with gusto, it's like it's in their DNA or something.
Yeah. Throughout your life, you know, all of our lives are never just always positive and good. Something's bound to go wrong. Throughout your journey, what was the time you felt most personally unsuccessful?
For me, the growing pains were hard. I mean, it's like I was getting a flood of clients all in one shot kind of a thing. And that was exciting. But then it's like I was just overwhelmed with like new team members and training them and changing my processes and procedures and making sure that the new clients were looked after. And it's like I was burning the candles at both ends. And it's like, you know, I'm not going to lie, I had a couple of anxiety attacks. And it's like, can I do this? And then, you know, you get you start self-doubting yourself, right? Can I take this on? Is it for me? Blah, 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 blah. But it's like, I think you have to be confident in your abilities and just faith that it'll work out, that it's meant to be. And yeah, I figured it out and things are awesome.
Awesome is good.
I know.
Oh man. Yeah. When things go wrong and they come back out on the other end and everything's good, you kind of wonder why you panicked so much, because the underlying process is that you're in the process of learning. Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And it's like there were some great lessons like throughout that, as much as it sucked at the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm also as well, I'm part of I have a business coach, Jim Palmer, and the mastermind group. And it's like, you know, they get it. So like for me, you know, having those group calls, having the one on one with my business coach, it helped me solve a couple problems that I had along the way. And even just that moral support, you know, I mean, it's and them understanding and going through the same thing, that was a huge help.
Yeah, I had Jim on the show. And
awesome.
So far, he's one of my listeners' favorite guests on the show. So, and he's coming back on pretty soon, so that's going to be fun.
Oh, awesome. Jim is not only I'm on his team, so I guess he's a client of mine, and I've known him for years. And then, yeah, he's my business coach and friend, and, yeah, adore him.
What do you feel was one of the hardest things in your business for you to overcome, and how did you conquer it?
For me to overcome, a lot of it, truthfully, is my mindset. It's like, you know, can I do this, or who am I to, you know, do videos? Who's going to listen to what I have to say? Or, you know, that like imposter syndrome.
Yep.
And just like, am I going to be able to handle this or whatever. So for me, a lot of it is mindset. And again, it's those mastermind people, my peeps. Mm-hmm. It's like, you've got this, girl. Like, and then they throw like, look where you've been and look what you've done. And no. They're like, you know, so they kind of rein me in when my brain starts spinning, or I, you know, do a little bit of head trash. And I'm like, okay, yeah, right. And they kind of help me step me through that and get my brain in the right direction again.
That's good. It's good to have a good push, a good positive push behind you. A lot of us do not have that support, but, oh, man, it's valuable.
It is.
What was your most challenging client-related situation, and how did you resolve it?
I've had a few. No, I honestly, all of my clients are actually friends. I've had some clients that I have not adored. but it's like, that's part of, like, when I bring on a client, it's someone that I connect with and that I enjoy and that I would even like their company. Do you know what I mean? And like-minded, it just makes such a huge difference. I have had, a client in the past that did not treat me with kindness, was very demanding, and did not treat my staff with kindness. And to me, it's, you know, can I fire a client? Like, they're paying me. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you kind of, how can I fix it without like attacking this person? How do I do it delicately? But it came down to like, it was stressing me out. It's not fair to my team. And I don't want anyone treating my team that way. So I had to, politely fire that client.
Was there any, backlash of any sort?
They didn't pay their last bill.
Oh.
Which sucked.
Right.
But I'm like, whatever. It's, you know, it is what it is. I would rather have them, you know, out of my life. And obviously I didn't really, you know, tell them why I let them go, but it was more like, you know, I feel like it's not a good fit and, you know, maybe we can't serve you fully and meet your needs. And, you know, it's, you don't want them to badmouth your business either. Right. So you have to do it in a positive way and bite your tongue.
Yes, absolutely. What one thing in your business are you currently struggling to overcome?
There are new services that I'm looking to add to my business and grow that way. And to me, it was like, I always have to learn everything myself. I can't just pass it off to a team member. It's just the way I am. And I don't have enough time always to do it, right? So I have like tried to schedule time for that. And I've, one of my team members, I've given some kind of R&D tasks to help me with that so that I can at least move that along quicker. And it's hard. It's like, that is, you know, the heart of my business, the different tools that we use, you know, optimizing, certain things. There's always something new. People always tell me these new tools and there's just so much to learn, which is exciting, right? But it can feel overwhelming sometimes because there is so much new stuff and I want to know it all myself and I want to know it all now. So, that can be a bit of a challenge sometimes.
Yeah. If we could somehow figure out how to stretch the day, then we'd actually have a little more time to start learning new things.
I know. And then each day I'm like, okay, what am I? And I'm trying to be very cognizant of what it is that I'm doing. Because I'll do something every now and then, and I'm like, why am I doing this? My team can be doing this. You know, it's so easy to fall into that pattern of just, oh, I'll just do it myself. Well, that's fine. But it's taking time away from, you know, developing things in your business or whatever.
What do you feel is the one biggest business triumph to date?
It was when I reached the six-figure mark. That was huge for me. Because it's like going from $11 an hour to having a six-figure business. That was like, yay!
Yeah, so that felt mind-blowing to you?
I know. And it's like, I never really thought it was possible back then. I'm like, psh, who am I to have a six-figure business? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, it is doable. So now I've like, you know, stepped up my goal naturally. I'm like, of course I can do this. I've got this.
That is great. Love that. What do you feel is your one biggest personal triumph today?
Man, you have some hard-hitting questions, dude.
Sorry.
You're funny. I think just getting over that mindset of, you know, I'm a mom from a small town. Who am I to think that I can make it big and make an impact in the entrepreneurial world in the States? Sometimes that that has been a big hurdle to get over. But now it's like, you know, I'm doing a podcast show and I have a good reputation and I am making six figures and you know, have great friends and great connections and great partnerships. And so I'm more confident than I was in the past, for sure.
Hang tight, successors. We'll return to our conversation with Lindsay Phillips, as well as quick success after a word from our sponsors. Spiders Will Eat Your Face. Available on Amazon Prime Instant Watch and Amazon.com. Spiders Will Eat Your Face, the brilliant documentary about the history of pet tarantulas in America. That's Spiders Will Eat Your Face, the movie, now on Amazon. Are you a tense, tired, busy person who works day in and day out, who tends to lack the proper sleep and energy? Using modular supplements, health-related articles, recipes, life hacks, and more, Bellison can help. With quality as high as Bellison, you're buying from a company that cares about the environment and only uses premium vegan supplements. That's Bellison.com. Want to learn how to cook healthy, exercise, and meditate in just 30 minutes a day? Bellison.com. Want to feel healthy, energetic, and focused like me? Bellison.com. To receive a 10% discount at checkout, visit Bellison.com with the coupon code THE4POS. Visit Bellison.com now. That's BELISAN.com. Compassion and quality without compromise. Bellison.com. And we're back with entrepreneur and podcaster Lindsay Phillips. Now we get into the part of the show I like to call Quick Success, where you, Lindsay, can inspire the successors to enhance their lives in the areas of knowledge, health, wealth, and spirituality. Lindsay, what are you currently doing to enhance your knowledge?
I am always looking up, you know, new tools. If someone even mentions or breathes about a new tool or, you know, strategy, I look it up. I dig. I love following other, you know, big entrepreneurs, you know, digital marketing, Frank Kern, you know, Talking More. I wish I had more time to read books. I read one of Talking More's, and I've got Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss. That thing's a beast, man.
Yeah, that book is huge.
Oh, man. But at least it's like cut up in little bits, but I need to carve more time to read.
What are you currently doing to enhance your health?
I've been skipping the yoga lately, but I need to get back into the yoga in the fall. But yeah, I work out, you know, 3 to 4 times a week. I have my shakes, take my vitamins. But that has been really key, working that into my schedule.
What are you currently doing to enhance your wealth?
Grow my business, baby.
What are you currently doing to enhance your spirituality?
Taking time. We love camping in the summer. And to me, being in nature and being away from any digital devices and being near water, it's just so calming for me. And that's part of the reason why I live out in the country as well. Just looking at the green and, you know, appreciating nature, as corny as it sounds, I find that really helpful.
When it comes to success, what do you feel is one of the best pieces of advice you've received?
Deciding yes. I remember when I said yes to being in a mastermind, you know, I was freaked out by the investment and so forth. And whenever I've been scared or uncomfortable and I've said yes and I did it anyways, I have always had great success because of it. It's always been super, super positive. So if anyone has opportunity and they're scared or they feel uncomfortable, do it anyways and you will not regret it.
What, on a side note of that, what was the first book that Jim Palmer released?
His first one was the Magic of Newsletter Marketing, wasn't it? But he just put out one that's Just Say Yes, and the one before that was Decide.
Yeah,
and I think powerful books.
There's one book before Decide, I think.
I like the book Don't Be Scared, Never Give Up, or something like that.
I'm not sure. I was getting somewhere with it because when I had him on the show, he said, he goes, there's like a, it's all in the straight line. The book before this one was Decide, and this one is Just Say Yes. He's like, it just sounds like my life with the decisions that I made to become an entrepreneur. I thought that was
and
really
that
cool.
One, the one that was, he's going to curse me for not remembering these names. That Don't Be Scared, Never Give Up, or whatever it's called, or whatever. That was big. It's got really great stories of different entrepreneurs, and that, like, some of them you think, you're like, oh, like, I'll never be like them, or you put them up on a pedestal. But, like Mike Michalowicz, he's been, I don't know if he was in the book, but, like, he's been, like, almost bankrupt and then, like, you know, came back. Or it's, you know, some of them have had, you know, health issues, or like they've had businesses that failed dramatically and then they came back from that. And just hearing those stories, it's like, it's okay if you make mistakes or something fails. You know, the sky is the limit, and don't compare yourself to, like, I mean, Frank Kern and Anthony Robbins, like, who knows what hardships or, you know, financial issues they've had in the past, for all we know. You know, they're not necessarily the god that we all think they are. No offense to them.
They're just human, just like we are, making mistakes along the way. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of people, there are tons of people who need that concept drilled into their minds, because that's where the imposter syndrome always seeps back into our thoughts, you know? And it's like, don't worry about what others think. Just do what you want to do to be a success.
Yeah. I'm always that way. And I was scared to freaking death to do videos. I was mortified. I was like dragging my heels, kicking and screaming. And Jim's like, just freaking do it, woman. And so I start. And then it's funny, like, Marie Forleo is like the queen of freaking videos, right? She's like impeccable. And I know she's got like the studio, people make her up and all that good stuff. Clearly, I can't afford that quite yet. But I saw she shared a video of herself way back in the day. And she was like, you know, in front of her laptop in her kitchen. And like, everyone has to start somewhere.
Yes.
And that to me was really powerful. I was like, yeah. And it's like, you know, Lisa Sasevich, it's like she worked from home with the two kids running around and, you know, on her laptop. And look at her now, like, she's grown this crazy business. So it's like, why am I can be any different?
Right. Absolutely. Are there any modern technologies or apps that help you achieve success?
I am a tool nerd. I cannot live without my project management tool, Teamworks. I would be hooped without it. I'm trying to think of what my other favorite. My favorite tool right now that I'm really diving into is TubeBuddy, to make you more productive and optimize your videos. That I'm just starting to love. The amount of things in there, it's mind-boggling. And I never thought I'd say this, but I love Infusionsoft and all the other email services. ActiveCampaign, I don't mind, but they just don't do it, man. I used to hate Infusionsoft and resisted it, but now I am its biggest fan.
What new thing, book, activity, technology, or skill are you really excited to learn and dive into?
I mean, I am loving learning more about, you know, video SEO and optimization, especially with TubeBuddy and analytics. I don't love analytics. It does not come naturally to me, but I know I need to know it front and back. And you know, I mean, I do have some team members that obviously support me in that area because their brains work that way. That I do drag my heels on a little bit, understand it more. So I do love looking at the analytics for videos, though, oddly enough. So I'm kind of excited to dive into that a little more in my spare time.
As far as helping our listeners achieve success in whatever it is they're doing, what piece of advice can you give them?
I find one of the biggest stumbling blocks with people is battling the inbox, and I'm no different. And I have tried a few tricks that actually read a book. I can't remember the author right now, but it was all about battling the inbox, and it was friggin' awesome. And it's like, if you don't treat your inbox like an archival system or a task management system, treat it as a junction. So when an email comes in, you're either answering it right away or you're forwarding it to someone that applies to it. If it's a task related, then you put it in your project management tool. I even copy and paste the actual email threads itself for reference, and then delete it. So you're not digging up emails in your sent file or your trash or keeping them in your inbox. You're just using it as a junction to go to other places and to action on it. And also to chunk your time. It's like, you know, yesterday I did not even look at my emails for the first 2 hours of the day, and I got so much done. And then I looked in my emails, and I looked in my emails, you know, one client at a time. I'm going to work on this client stuff and check out all those that are associated. And then I'm going to switch gears on this client. So you really have to batch and schedule your time and batch how you handle your emails. That is a huge productivity tip.
All right, successors, Lindsay has a special offer for you. Lindsay, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, now that I'm talking about productivity tips, I mean, being productive, there's so many little nuances and things that will just give you time back in your day. So if they go to smoothbusinessgrowth.com/beproductive, I have a guide on 8 ways to be more productive in your business.
All right, successors, that's smoothbusinessgrowth.com/beproductive. All right, Lindsay, how can listeners connect with you?
Thanks. They can go to smoothbusinessgrowth.com, and I have a start here page so they can learn more about content marketing and the services that we offer and how we can support them. And of course, I have the links there to my blogs, my podcasts and videos and resources as well.
Finally, Lindsay, what's your definition of success?
Is happiness, is having the ability to create your own day and your own lifestyle and create the income that you want. But the kicker is being happy on a day-to-day basis.
Successors, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Lindsay Phillips. Please check out more successful free content like this at the4pos.com, as well as rate and review wherever you find your podcast. Thanks for listening and prepare for success. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you.
If you want to be more driven and more motivated in your life or business, go to the4pos.com/free book and grab a copy of my book, Indulge Your Affirmative Motivation Within, 25 Motivations of Personal Development and Life Success. Get it now at the4pos.com/free book. Again, that's the4pos.com/free book. Spiders will eat your face. Available on Amazon Prime Instant Watch and Amazon.com. Spiders Will Eat Your Face, the brilliant documentary about the history of pet tarantulas in America. That's Spiders Will Eat Your Face, the movie, now on Amazon.